Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I'm bad.
I'm nationwide. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with us. We got some really important stuff lined up for you straight ahead. I'm very happy to say that our good buddy Dr. Robert McTeer is back on the show. Bob's been a member of our Brain Trust since the last millennia. That's right. Since 1999 when he first joined us. He was actually a member of the Federal Open Market Committee as the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas at that time. And we were very fortunate to have him join us, sort of counter-cyclical to the FOMC meetings, to give us a peek into. He's helped us pull the curtains back a little bit to peek into what happened happens in the Fed meetings, and so he's been joining us ever since then. He's now a fellow with the National Center for Policy Analysis, and he's our good friend Bob McTeer. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good to be back.
It's good to have you back, Bob. The Bernanke Fed is a lot different from the Greenspan Fed, isn't it?
I guess circumstances sort of made them different.
But I'm thinking of, didn't Greenspan kind of have a pretty much of a tight rein on messages? Well, it seems like there are a lot more diverse messages coming out of this Fed than Greenspan would have allowed. Am I wrong about that?
Greenspan wasn't as tight as you're implying, but you are right that there are more now. I used to get called sort of reprimanding me from Greenspan's top aides, and they would always say Greenspan told them to call, but I didn't believe that half the time. The aides that protect the boss always seem to be more rigid than the boss.
I see. But it does seem like that we're getting a lot of different messages out of the different bank presidents. There are a dozen bank presidents around the country.
Yeah, the St. Louis president the other day made a big splash over a paper, and he did a long interview on CNBC.
Tell us about that. That was unprecedented. Tell us about that.
Well, he raised the possibility that we might be slipping into deflation,
right,
with inflation getting so low. And then he raised the possibility that as that became a real risk, the Fed might need to engage in more what they're calling these days quantitative easing. In other words, just making the money supply grow faster.
Because they can't do anything. I mean, interest rates, they can't do anything with that.
Interest rates are as low as they can get on the short end.
Without giving us money back, right?
they might could buy some longer-term securities and get longer rates down, but the two-year treasury rate went under 50 basis points last Friday when the employment numbers were announced. But anyway, to me, the Fed needs to be buying some government securities like it always does to make money grow faster. But because interest rates are where they are, they give a special name to that, and they call it quantitative easing, and they make it too big a deal in my estimation.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Fed needs to ease a little bit because the money supply has not been growing very fast. But I don't want the Fed to make this huge splash with their announcement, and that's inevitable if they change anything because everybody's so tuned in to the wording of the announcement.
Well, the as it stands right now, the Fed has run out of bullets with part of their blunt instrument, the interest rates. They've got the ability to do some quantitative easing, as you said, by infusing more capital, more cash into the marketplace. But isn't that what got us to the problem we're in right now?
Problem are we in right now?
Well, the recession that we're in, didn't that happen because the economy got overheated because the money supply was too accommodative?
Yeah. Well, people say that the Fed was too easy back in 2002 and 3, and that fed the real estate boom. And then when the real estate boom bust, we went into recession. That story leaves out the fact of these subprime mortgages and the securitizations and everything.
Right.
And I don't think that can be blamed on Fed being too easy myself.
Right, right. So what do you think the Fed's going? What do you think is going to happen today at the meeting?
I think they'll tweak the language slightly to reflect the reality that the recovery is losing some steam. They'll find a minimalist way to do that if they can, because they want to tell the truth, but they don't want to scare us.
But there's nothing they can do on the interest rates, right?
Well, they could reduce the amount of interest they're paying on reserves.
Right.
So that maybe a few banks here and there.
But that doesn't have anything to do. That won't affect a small business anywhere.
No. It might cause banks to lend a little.
I'm going to let you answer that right after these messages. Stay with us, folks. We're back, 17-10, little Jimmy bringing us back. Jimi Hendrix, that is, J-I-M-I. Spells his name differently than most. 17-10, I'm Jim Blassingame. We're having a great visit with our good friend, Dr. Robert McTeer. And my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. Lots of good stuff there that will help you with your small business articles, archives, information that we produced with our Brain Trust members over the years and recently, and the blog is there. All the things that are there are free. You can use them at your discretion. Use us and abuse us, ladies and gentlemen. And, of course, don't forget to take our poll question, which is right on the homepage. And the question this week is, what should we do with the – is the health care bill going to be good for small business? That's the question. And what should we do about that? Should we leave it like it is? Should we appeal it? Or do you not have enough information to make that decision? We'd like to know what you think about that. And that's right on the homepage. When you click on your answer, you can see how their poll's going so far. Bob McTeer is with us. Bob, as we went to the break, we're talking about the Fed meeting today. And we'll have an answer later today about what the Fed's going to do about – their language, about their quantitative easing, as you call it, about, you know, they can't do anything with interest rates, really, at least not to what affects prime rates. But you said that they might lower the rates on what they charge banks, which could help small businesses. Talk to us about that.
Well, what they pay banks. They've got this new tool of monetary policy that hasn't actually been used in the past. They are now allowed to pay interest on bank reserves.
Right.
Which they needed to have that ability for years, but didn't. And they're paying only 0.25%, which is not much. The banks have a lot of reserves idle at the Fed, and I don't think they're idle because they're enjoying that 0.25%. But with a two-year Treasury bill getting down below 50 basis points, then 25 basis points starts to look relevant.
Right.
So one thing they might do is lower that to make it more costly for the banks to hold those
and make them so. And see, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, banks are sitting there on however much money they have, and they're looking for some place to put that money to make some return on. And
but they're also looking for a place to put it that's absolutely 100% foolproof safe.
Right.
Because they are still scared to death.
And so if they can get 0.25% from the bank, from the Fed, and that's safe, or they can make 4 points off of a small business owner, which is absolutely not safe in their mind, then they're probably going to take the 0.25%, aren't they?
So far, there's about $1 trillion of excess reserves in the system right now, but I don't think it's being held there by any interest rate they're getting. It's been held there by fear. And the administration is doing a lot to keep that fear level up.
They're manufacturing uncertainty, aren't they?
They really are. And all this talk about tax hikes in the middle of a deep recession.
Right.
All the tax hikes that are in your health care bill already.
Right.
And in every other piece of legislation.
Never mind the fact that we've got tax issues, tax elements that were not renewed in 2009. That should have been, that people are still wondering if, and they haven't said we're not going to renew them. They just haven't gotten around to doing it.
You're talking about the death tax.
Well, no, not that. I'm talking about the R&D tax
yeah.
credit. That expired in 2009, and they haven't said they don't like that. They just haven't gotten around to renewing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's money that's sitting on the sidelines that they're not going to – it's not that they don't need to invest in R&D. It's just that they're saying, why would I do that this month if they're going to renew it next month?
Yeah. Well, on the death tax, you know, they intended to do something with that and
yep.
couldn't get together. And we've got this odd situation where it's zero this year, then goes way up next year.
Yep.
So if you get sick, Jim, you might as well cash out during this college.
That's what I've
year.
Been saying. I've been telling my audience, you know, this is a good year to die. Steinbrenner, you know, did it right. You know, he saved his family billions of dollars.
Yeah, who knows? Like the old joke, when a fellow died from... some gossip said, wonder what he meant by that.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what somebody's going to say about me. So we've still got a problem. But part of the problem, though, you know, Bob, to be fair to the banks, independent community banks are still telling me that they'd like to loan to small businesses, but they're not asking them for money.
I think that's true. Anytime you have a credit crunch like this, on both sides. And when I first went to the Fed, we were in the middle of one, around 91.
Yeah.
And I testified before Congress on that, and I remember that period very well. And the banker said there was no loan demand, and the borrower said the banks won't lend any money, and they were both right.
Right. One of the things in the FinReg bill that's just been passed, Bob, is the ability for commercial credit commercial checking accounts, like my deposit account at my bank for my business, to draw interest. That's brand new for 70, 80 years now, isn't it? That went away in the 30s, didn't it?
Yeah, that's another one of these oddities that should have been fixed many years ago, just like paying interest on reserves. There's no real good reason that they should treat commercial checking accounts any differently.
Well, the reason it was that way to start with was because they didn't want businesses to be shopping their accounts all over the marketplace for a higher rate and destabilizing the monetary system.
A little competition would be so awful, wouldn't it?
That was the original thing, but today it doesn't really apply, does it?
No. Well, there's one more of these things left, and that is if you've got a money market account at a bank, you're limited to 3 or 4 checks a month.
Yeah,
and that's by regulation. They're not doing that to you. They have to do it to you, but it still irritates you.
Right. So folks, look for that. That's part of one of the things on the FinReg bill that actually will be good for small businesses is you're going to be able to start drawing interest. I'm not sure when that kicks in, but you'll need to check with your banker on that. We come back. We're going to get Bob to tell us what does he think is going to happen with the economy over the next 6 to 12 months. After these messages, Tin Tail, Bob McTeer is our guest. Stay with us. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. Bob McTeer is our guest. Dr. Robert McTeer is a distinguished fellow with the National Center for Policy Analysis, NCPA, former member of the Federal Open Market Committee as in his role as president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. Also, he's former chancellor of the Texas A&M University System. He's got a great credentials, a great resume and of distinguished service. Bob, tell us about the NCPA.
Well, it's a think tank that isn't headquartered in Washington. That's the one thing that distinguishes it.
Right.
It's about 26 years old, and has specialized in healthcare, economics, Social Security, and that sort of thing. And I'm holding down the macroeconomic chair, as they would say. And when I talk about writing my blog, that's basically what I do for them. Plus, I was doing a good bit of TV as a CNBC contributor. That sort of has gotten thinner lately because, frankly, what happened, I think, was the BP oil spill. Suddenly, Kudlow was talking about that, and he forgot about the Fed for a while. But I was on his show last night trying to say some of the things I'm saying to you But I kept getting shouted down by this West Coast professor.
Well, we're not going to shout you down now. Talk to us about the economy. What would you like to have told the Kudlow audience?
Well, the economy has lost some momentum. There's a possibility that it'll slip back into recession. I don't think it will. I think the more likely thing is it'll muddle along for a little while. Unfortunately, the fiscal authorities, they've had their turn, and it didn't work very well.
You're talking about the policy.
Stimulus package in particular, yeah. And all these subsidies for things. People have lost their taste for more of that. We probably need more of that, but nobody's going to stand for it anymore. So
right.
They're not going to get it.
Well, the last thing we did didn't work.
Well, you know, that's sort of like I don't have to take my flu shot anymore because I took it last year and I didn't get the flu. The counterfactuals are difficult for people to deal with.
Yeah.
What would it have been without those
things? Right.
And I think it would have been much worse. I think the worst thing that was done was the huge stimulus program.
Yeah.
I think the TARP program to save the banking system worked fine, and it paid for itself.
Right.
I think the Fed's actions to save the financial system worked fine and were done at a profit to the taxpayers. But right now, we need a little more monetary stimulus, and I think the Fed ought to be discreetly in there buying stuff.
Mm-hmm.
More likely the common old Treasury bills to replace some of those mortgage-backed securities that they loaded up on to save that sector.
Bob, in terms of the economy where it is right now, isn't it, you know, I've been saying, and I probably said this to you before, that my definition of the recovery is not a V or a U or a W. It's an M, which stands for marathon. And any marathon, you're going to hit a physical wall from time to time. You're not going to feel strong. You got to push through that. You're going to run into a physical, literal hill that you got to climb. You got to push through that thing. You're going to slow down as you try to climb that hill. But it's a marathon. There's a lot of terrain. There's a lot of circumstances that you're going to run into: headwinds, tailwinds, rain, et cetera, over time. Isn't that kind of what's happening right now in this marathon recovery more than some kind of a trend? Aren't we just dealing with the vagaries of a long race?
You might say that during this phase, when they were paying us money to buy houses and cars and everything else, we were sort of going down a long hill. And now we're paying the price for having to go up the hill.
Right, they've taken the candy away.
Yeah, and I guess the marathoner has to keep reminding himself, don't sprint. You know,
pace yourself.
You got to do this for the long run.
Right.
And I think that's a very good analogy. I think we just need a little time to heal some of these things, and the administration ought to stop doing the things they're doing to stir up class warfare that keeps everybody from behaving normally.
I do think that Washington is the biggest contributor to the uncertainty right now, and to this. If the economy has a headwind, I think part of it is the behavior of Washington.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
NCPA.org, right, Bob?
Yeah, and also I got more colorful things on bobmcteer.com.
And that's where they can find your blog there too, can't they?
Right.
And is there a, we've run out of time, but is there a haiku on there, a new one?
No new one.
All right, you got to work on that, Bob. We got to have a new.
You'll have to remind me before.
Get a new haiku out of you soon. Hey, thanks, Bob, for being here. Good job today.
Thanks, John.
Dr. Robert McTeer, folks, Bob McTeer. He'll be back another day. I will be too, but not today. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.